You're in tune to 90.5 KUT here in Austin. I'm Jay Trachtenberg. We're in Studio 1A this morning, and we are just proud to have with us Alan Toussaint, who has been in town for South by Southwest and is kind enough to break away from his busy schedule to talk to us a little bit and perform a little bit of music for us. Well, welcome to Austin, Alan.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here.
Have you spent much time here before?
No, I haven't spent much time in Austin, but Austin has been sending out some wonderful stuff around the country, and I'm so glad to be here. I've been here once before.
Mm-hmm. Well, over the length of your career, you've been so influential as both as an artist, as a songwriter, as a record producer, as a record label owner, as an arranger, But you've actually kind of stayed personally out of the limelight over the years, even though your contribution has been so immense. But ironically, since the tragedy with Hurricane Katrina, you seem to have all of a sudden had a spotlight put upon you on the national media as sort of a, showing more recognition to your talents all of a sudden. How has that affected you?
It has affected me in a great way, in profound ways, I must say. Everything was magnified due to Katrina's visit. And I guess as for myself as well, what I've been doing in my life caused me to be in one place, which is a luxury in a way. Being a writer, producer, and attached to the studio when most of the people I worked with came to the studios, and then when we did what we had to do next. So I've had the luxury to stay in one place, and that being New Orleans, which mm-hmm. is my beloved. So, that has kept a low profile, you might say, in one way, which has been very nice, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, now you're living in New York, at least temporarily, and I know you've been playing regularly in New York and have been on national TV shows, so how has that felt for someone who actually hasn't been in the limelight all that much for, all these decades?
It's really an interesting feeling, I must say. I'm staying in New York until my house is rebuilt because my walls are gutted out. And most of the things I work with daily are gone, of course. But I'm having architects and carpenters working on things to get it back in order, and I'm staying in New York temporarily till that happens. As far as the feeling of being so busy in another fashion, it's very interesting and quite good in a way, because when you spend most of your time in the studio, as wonderful as it is, it's not as connected as it is when you're doing live performances. And the times of being in New York now, whereas I'm doing live things at Joe's Pub, which I'm there at a brunch in the middle of the day and a live audience, that's really good connecting with people. And connecting with Elvis Costello has been a godsend for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a wonderful, very creative person and untiring in what he does and loves. So Katrina has been a booking agent for me and has put a lot of musicians to work in other areas. So there's a lot of good that goes along with on the other side of the balance of Katrina, far as the good and the tragic part. And I might say that the good is outweighing the bad.
Good. Has it changed your focus in terms of concentrating more on your playing now since you are performing live?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think so. It has, for one thing, I have to play an entire set through. Whereas in the studio, when you record and you go at one song and you work at it and get it down, and then we go in the control room and you evaluate it and talk about it and do this, that, and the other, whereas when you get to a live performance, you have to be responsible for playing all of these songs in a row from beginning to end. And yes, I have had to concentrate more on my playing the piano as opposed to just playing a part in recordings, because you play your part on the recordings. When you're playing a live gig, you play the piano itself. And I must say that has been all good for me, very good. And it's good to connect with people. There they are, the ones who we try and reach on the recording. Here they are right here today. Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful feeling.
So has your playing become, say, more jazz influenced because you've had to, you know, sort of fill in and songs that you might have?
Well, I wouldn't say that my playing has become more jazz influenced than it was before. Whatever I was before, I am now. I couldn't add that to it because, like I said, I can't say that there's a new influence of music. It's just that being responsible for playing the whole an hour straight.
I see.
Is not what I've been doing in my life. I've been recording as you play this song and work on it, and I couldn't add much to that. But far as changing the way I play, no, it hasn't influenced me in that way. Even though I must say, far as the jazz influence, I've always had some jazz lurking around in the back while I'm doing any kind of funk or whatever, or whatever music is called for the day. And about a year and a half ago, I actually recorded a tune I call Jazzity. Well, not a tune. I still call them albums. I recorded a CD, and I considered the genre Jazzity, from the city of jazz. And it's called Going Places, and I play all instrumentals in a kind of jazzy mood, even though I use some of the same tunes like All These Things, which was used. That was the song that I wrote for Art Neville, and it was later recorded by Joe Stampley, which actually won an award, a country award. I went to Nashville, collect my award, the only one there without a cowboy hat.
Right.
But on the jazz tune, so I sort of took a couple of the things that I had done in the other idiom and moved them over to the jazz market. Mm-hmm. So, but that wasn't because of Katrina. That happened before Katrina. Katrina is powerful, but not powerful enough to change my way of anything, hardly.
Okay. Alan Toussaint is our guest today. Would you like to play a tune that you might play at Joe's Pub on one of your gigs?
Well, I tell you what, there's I have a patron saint called Professor Longhair, and I took one of his pieces, and I considered an adaptation. In fact, we recorded it on the recent CD that's coming out in the near future with Elvis Costello and myself. And he added lyrics to it, and it became Ascension Day. Before that, we called it Tipitina and Me. And it's an adaptation from Professor Longhair's Tipitina, and I'll play a bit of that now. Thank you.
Alan Toussaint is our guest today on KUT 90.5, and his interpretation of Professor Longhair's Tipitina, which there's a version of that appears on the album Our New Orleans 2005 that we've been playing quite a bit of. And you say you've teamed with Elvis Costello for an album, and he's put words to that tune.
Yes, and it's called Ascension Day, and it's a wonderful story. He's just a great, prolific writer.
Yeah, how did that project come together? I know Joe Henry has produced it, and you got together around Thanksgiving to record it. How did you team with Elvis Costello? What's the story behind that?
Well, interestingly so, Elvis told me that he had been considering doing an Alan Toussaint songbook album, a CD. And when he found that I was in New York, that just made things a whole lot easier to get together. And he came out to a performance of mine at Joe's Pub, and he heard me do this hour set, and he thought, now is the time to get started with this. Elvis and I had worked together on a song back in the 80s at Sea Saint Studio in New Orleans. He was doing Yoko Ono's song, Walking on Thin Ice, and he called me he came to New Orleans at my studio there, and we got together and did that. And later on, I played on a song of his he brought in. He's just really a powerhouse. But anyway, in New York, after he came out to, actually, we performed on a couple of the benefits in New York as well. We did a thing for the New Yorker, whereas he did Freedom for the Stallion, and we did the Madison Square Garden, where he did On Your Way Down. And he knows he knows more of my songs than I do. But anyway, after the Joe's Pub gathering is when we got started. And it's really been quite a journey, and it's on now. Mm-hmm. And it's a pleasure to be with such a giant.
Well, I understand that he was interested in recording some of your lesser-known tunes that you've done, not the well-known hits that we associate with a lot of other artists and also yourself, but he really dug deep into your catalog.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was... he's very good for that, and I might say he's one of the people who not only knows the hits, but he knows the B-sides. Mm-hmm. So, and he gave new life to many of the older songs and brought them to a new meaning in this new day, which I found very gratifying as well. Even though everything is not about Katrina, but those things that were applicable at this time, he certainly had the insight to bring them to the stage and to bring them to light, like a song I wrote, Who's Gonna Help Brother Get Further? I wrote that for Lee Dawson many years ago. Well, he saw no better time to say that than right now. And Freedom for the Stallion, which I wrote for Lee Dawson. Elvis saw no better time for that than right now because mm-hmm. of what it says. And also, we collaborated and wrote some songs together as we met preparing mm-hmm. for this album. And that was quite a ride as well.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to play one of your lesser-known tunes for us?
Well, I'll just play another tune.
That would be great.
It's hard for me to say the lesser-known, but just for the sake of playing another song. With you in mind, things aren't as bad as they seem. With you in mind, well, I can build my wildest dream. With you in mind, I can do anything, I know I can. With you in mind, honey, with you in mind. I'll climb the mountain to the top. With you in mind, I know love's fountain will not stop. With you in mind,
I've done so many things, loving your brains, with you in mind, honey, with you in mind. Like the flower drinking from the falling rain, the same rain that could wash it away. Instead, it gives it strength and gives it water. And before you know, another day. Instead, it gives it strength and gives it water. And before you know, another day with you in mind, I'll climb the mountain to the top with you in mind. I know love's fountain will not stop. With you in mind, I've done so many things, loving you brings. With you in mind, honey, with you in mind, with you in mind, with you in mind.
Alan Toussaint is our guest this afternoon on 90.5 KUT. And is that a song that will appear on that album?
Yes. Well, let me say, not will appear on this one, but we did do this song, but we did many songs, more than what could fit on this one album. And this is one of them that we did. But it'll be out on the next release of whatever we would put out, whether it be an extra single or something like that. But it was on this session, but it won't be on this album.
Okay. And does the album have a title yet?
Yes, it's called The River in Reverse, which is a song that Elvis wrote one day right before the New York performance. And it had direct ramifications of Katrina, and a very profound song. He's a marvelous writer, mm-hmm. and very bold in the faith and what he has to say. And it is being said very overtly. And I added some modal horn parts in it that he liked very well. And he always make mention that that's another voice in that song. And it's the title of the CD.
Okay. Now, I understand that Your horn section came up to record for the sessions as well.
We pulled in our horn players from the far reaches because they were all scattered about and still are. But when it's time to come and make that New Orleans funk, they joyfully got together. And it was quite a joy to have us gathered at a time like that. We hadn't seen each other since our lady visitor.
Mm-hmm. So what is it about the New Orleans sound that's so special? It's such a distinctive sound. Can you describe or maybe play a little bit about what makes it so special?
Well, I think what makes it so what it is, and I only think that because of questions come up, because as we live, we don't think. We just feel. But I think what's largely responsible for the way we sound is the influences of the Mardi Gras Indians, that frenzy that happens with them, even though they come up to show themselves in seasons, but that that frenzy of that beat of percussion flying everywhere lives all the time. The street, the brass band parades with the second line and that prance and that kind of strut, that rowdy street feeling that goes with that, loose, unintellectual. I think that lives in our music constantly, and it has a lot. It has humor in it as well. When you see that second line dance, even the guys who are doing it, there's no smiles because they're seriously involved. But it makes you just—you can't help but your heart smiles when you see it. And it's funny as well. It has humor in it as well, mm-hmm. which I guess is just the word I'm searching for is a happy side of life that lives in that music. And percussiveness and syncopation constantly. We don't rely on the one as much as other. We get there before the one, doom, 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 doom. Before the one is there, we done already made our statement. Mm-hmm. And also, we operate generally through the course of a day, a week, a month at a different pace than a. We don't speed, our life doesn't speed there as it does usually across linear United States. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that as a curse or a blessing. It's just that it's other than. I do know that. The world speeds and that's a good thing in many ways because progress comes, save lives, and new ways of getting things done. But New Orleans took longer to graduate from the upright bass to the electric bass. Mm-hmm. I think we were the last ones to finally discover, yes, there's an electric bass. Our amps, we were using still twin reverbs when the rest of the country was using 6-foot Vox. So we operate at a different pace, and I think that pace that we operate at is another thing that's largely responsible for whatever that music is that affects folk in so many ways.
Well, you were involved.
And Professor Longhair, let me say that. Yeah, our patron saint.
And you've been involved at so many levels with the music, but when you're, say, composing or arranging a certain tune for a group, say, like a Lee Dorsey session, how much of the arrangement actually comes out as the final product as opposed to kind of the musicians kind of improvising within the arrangement that you're providing? Is it more the arrangement or is it more the spontaneity of the musicians?
I'm sorry you asked that, but no, that's a good question. Let me just say I'm guilty this time. In the case of the things that you heard about Lee Dawson and all that, it was all about arrangements. The bass lines were written. The drum parts, definitely written, but if it was a drummer who didn't read, I explained what that was and asked him to play me that. Of course, his ability to do that is what made it so good. Mm-hmm. That's what made it that good, because before he plays it, it's just theory. But it was hardly any improvising on Lee Dawson's sessions, not much improvision at all, because I had places for everything, including the background voices. We do this, and now, Lee, you come right there. So we make this picture like that. There's a little splash of blue there, but you got to cut that out because some yellow is coming here. So it's about arrangement. But I do like the idea of sessions that are not done that way, but most of mine were done with arrangements.
Okay, so generally speaking, the stuff that you did produce was pretty much all formed out and
yes.
Okay,
yes.
And I must add, "Ride My Pony" is one of my favorite tunes. So.
Well, I like "Ride Your Pony."
All right, Alan Toussaint is our guest here today on KUT 90.5. Well, since you've moved to New York,
if you don't mind, I'd like to comment one thing. Since you say "Ride Your Pony," I've always just made music because of it's time to make music and this is what we're doing and having fun. There was one time in my life that I tried to write a hit record because people ask that a lot. The only time I ever tried to write a hit record was Ride Your Pony.
Really? And you got a hit.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you brought it up. But I tried to write a hit record, a hit, whatever you call it, because I just got out of the military and I thought everyone else been hit. They're all the way around the track. I got to do something. So I tried to write a hit song with Ride Your Pony, the only time I ever tried.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, since you've been to New York, have you been in touch with New Orleans musicians who have scattered?
Yes, I have. Well, of course, we use many of them on the CD with Elvis and I. Well, we call them in from wherever they were, and they're scattered quite a bit. But in good places, because the rest of the country has been royal with us, with musicians as well as just people. And I've been in communication with others, and those who I haven't talked with, I found out where they are and their well-being. Like Fats Domino is living over in Algiers, now across the river from New Orleans. It takes a lot to get him out of his house. And if you get him out of his house, you're not going to get him very far away, so he's not far away. He's a diehard like me when it comes to New Orleans. And other musicians I've talked with, so we're in touch, and I know where they are. Armour Thomas is about 40 miles out, not that far outside of New Orleans, until her place is suitable to get back into New Orleans. And there's more, yes.
Okay. Can we ask you to play another song?
Sure thing.
Alan Toussaint on KUT.
Well, I tried to run my game. She said, man, that's the same old thing I've heard before. And I'm too tired to go for your show again and again. And she started to explain. She said, man, I ain't saying what you're playing. Just can't make it. But I just can't take it. Play something sweet, play something mellow, play something I can sink my teeth in like jello, play something I can understand, play me some Brickyard Blue. Play something sweet, now make it funky, just make me lay back and grin like a monkey, play something I can understand, play me some Brickyard Blue. I started to sweat. She said, don't get upset, 'cause you just might break a string, and that won't do a thing for your show, don't you know? So I said to myself, I said, self, do you see what is sailing through my soul? And I got to have some more, don't you know? Play something sweet, play something mellow, play something I can sink my teeth in like jello, play something I can understand, play me some Brickyard Blues. Play something sweet, now make it funky, just make me lay back and grin like a monkey, play something I can understand, play me some Brickyard Blues. It's enough to make a light in the dark. It's enough to make a bite. Just a bark. It's enough to make a body move around. It's enough to make a bulldog hug a hound. Play something sweet. Play something mellow. Play something I can set my teeth in like jello. Play something I can understand. Play me some Brickyard Blues.
Alan Toussaint doing his tune Brickyard Blues here on 90.5 KUT. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Is there, of all the stuff you've done and you've written and sessions that you've done, is there one particular song or session or that stands out in your mind above most others, or do you have a particular favorite?
Well, as when it comes to recording with other people, no, not a favorite session in particular. There are things that happen with certain folk that was totally different with others. Like, I think no one inspired me as a general artist more than Lee Dorsey because of that smile in his voice. Plus, we hung out, we rode motorcycles, we raced Cadillacs together. We did nightlife together, hang out at the Dewdrop. And he was a very inspiring and high-spirited guy, kept a little flask of Chevy's Regal in his back pocket all the time, was careful how to sit down, and smoked Pall Mall cigarettes. But and far as Irma Thomas, her voice stays in my head. Whenever I think lady songs, Irma's voice pop in, I have to just try to push it away if I want to be inspired otherwise. That's very special. I remember when Patti LaBelle came and brought that asphalt jungle feel to the studio, that really metropolitan feel. Mm-hmm. It was so remote and wonderful and grand. I remember what a special feeling that had. So they all had their special places, so special till I couldn't pick one of those. I must say, out of my own recordings, which haven't been a whole lot, but I can, it's so hard to be specific about anything, but one thing I can be, about songs I've done, whereas I actually performed, when I did Southern Night, I had a special feeling about that due to it being a culmination of things in my family since I was 6 years old and visiting the old people out in the country who spoke Creole, and those old ladies who'd come in and hug you, and they all smell the same. And growing up with my family and being around all that safety as a child, and we knew who was good at what, anything you needed, they had. When I was doing Southern Night, that song and that album had a feeling that was the most special feeling I've had for as me being at recording myself. I can say Southern Night, the song at that time, was the most, my favorite and the most special to me. I don't know if I went to the moon with that answer, but.
Would you want to play that song now?
Well, I can play some of it. Let me say about Southern Night what happened. When I wrote it, it was written in F sharp because of the mode that I wanted, and I sang through a Leslie speaker because I needed to set it up in the wind because it was about those feelings. It wasn't to be a song, but just a delivery. And it's too high for a natural vocal. On stage, I do it at the Glen Campbell version, which is up, but when I recorded it, it was in another mode. I'll start it there even though it's much too high.
To anyone who can truly say that he has found a better way. Feels so good, it's frightening, worst I could. Stop this world from fighting, la da da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da, la da 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 da. Southern skies, have you ever noticed southern skies? Its precious beauty lies deep beyond the eye, and it goes rushing through your soul like the stories told of old. Oh man, he and his dog, they walked the whole land. Every flower touched his cold hand. As they slowly walked by, the weeping willow would cry for joy. They would cry for joy. Mysteries like this and many others in the trees, they all blow in the night in the southern skies. In the southern skies.
Southern Night.
Thank you for that. Alan Toussaint and his song Southern Nights. So what does the immediate future hold for you?
Well, the immediate future looks very good. Well, most importantly, I'm getting my house back in order in New Orleans, getting it back livable because it's not livable. My neighborhood isn't livable yet. Still no stores open in my immediate area. And there are a lot of trailers on lawns, which is good to see because that means people are in those trailers working on their houses. So that's most important. That's the first thing that comes to mind. However, there's some delightful things happening. The CD that Elvis recorded, that I recorded with Elvis Costello, will be out in June, early June, and at which time we will begin a tour. A tour that will go on maybe 6 weeks, somewhere in that vicinity. And I'm really looking forward to that because that's a whole nother world for me. It's a great world, and it's a real world with meat and bones and all. So I'm looking forward to that and the rejuvenation of New Orleans, which I'm excited about because this is an opportunity for everyone to do everything better. And I think we're on the road to that.
We hope so.
Oh, yes. And Austin has just been marvelous to us. Cyril Neville now lives here.
Right.
And
right.
He swears by it. But not only Cyril, there are other people. And Austin has just reached out in a marvelous way to musicians as well as others who aren't musicians. Because we care about all of our people. And I just want to say thank you very much to Austin. And to America, I've seen America in a brand new light, and I know better now who we are than I did before Katrina, and we're wonderful.
Thank you, Alan, for sharing your music with us and your time this afternoon.
It's a great place to be. Thank you.
Alan Toussaint has been our guest. Walter Morgan is our engineer today. I'm Jay Trachtenberg for 90.5 KUT.